Well, a few weeks ago, I began a series about understanding and defeating our enemy, the devil. God makes it very clear that we need to not only be aware of him, but we need to keep our guard up because he is real and he really is out to get us. In 1 Peter 5, 8, 9, it says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a, like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." He's looking. He's looking who's lax, who's laid back, who's not aware, who's not self-controlled, who's not alert. And he wants to get him. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world, everybody, every Christian, everywhere, is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We have to learn how to resist him so we can stand strong and not give in, not fall for his diabolical plots, his evil schemes. We saw that the real battle that we're facing is not against flesh and blood. It's not against our brothers and sisters. It's not against our family. It's not against one another. It's against the powers of darkness and the devil himself. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that. It says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." The devil and all of his demonic forces, they really do hate us. They don't like the fact that we've been saved. They don't like the fact that God loves us. They don't like the fact that God has blessed us and wants to bless us even more, that God's got an inheritance stored up for us. They don't like any of that because they know they don't have it. They don't have it. And they were angels once, and they don't have it. We've got something better, far, far better than they will ever know. And every time something good happens in our life, the devil tries to come and take it away from us. He wants to steal away from us every good thing that God is doing. Last weekend, Ed Trout visited us, and our church was blessed, and God used him to speak to us through the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:3 tells us that the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Verse 4 tells us the one who prophesies edifies the church. Now, what does edify mean? You know, we can just read that off, and maybe you don't really think about it. But here's what edify means. This is what prophetic word does. It says that it edifies the church. According to Webster's Dictionary, that means to instruct and improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge. To build, uplift, enlighten, inspire, and inform. That's what the prophetic ministry does. That's right out of the dictionary. To instruct and improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge. Knowledge of God. Verse 25 shows us that when God reveals the secrets of our heart, not necessarily to everybody else, but when he speaks to us, we know that he's revealing secrets to us. And what it shows us, it tells us right there that we know that he is really among us, that God is among us. And it's true. So God reveals himself to us through his words, and we get blessed. We get edified. So then what happens? Well, this is where we need to be aware, because we have to understand how the enemy wants to come in at that point and work his magic and work his harm against us. If we understand his tactics, the way he schemes, then we can defeat him. So how does he work after God speaks to us? Well, there's a parable that, you know, that sort of instructs us a little bit on this. In fact, Ed mentioned that last week, but I'm going to go into it just a little more. In Mark chapter 4, it tells us, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up." Verse 13 of Mark chapter 4, Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" The farmer, because they were asking him, "What does this mean?" And he said, "The farmer sows the word." So God would be the farmer, or the Holy Spirit. "And some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them." He steals the word of God right out of our mind, right out of our heart. And that's the key in this parable, is that Satan takes. Satan steals. God puts something in us, and the devil comes right along and tries to take that same something right back out of us, because the devil is a thief. John 10:10 says, "The thief," meaning the devil, "comes only to steal and kill and destroy." And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Whenever God begins a work in you or me, every time God begins to stir something up in us, every time God wants to move on us and change us and create something new in us, the devil sees what's going on. And he decides, you know what? I don't like that. I don't like that they're growing. I don't like that they're getting closer to God. I don't like that they've made a commitment to pass out invitations. I don't like that they made a commitment to pray. I don't like that they've started teaching. I don't like that they've said they'll help in this ministry or do that. So I'm going to steal that away from them. I'm going to take the inspiration. I'm going to take away the commitment. I'm going to take away the will to follow through on that. And he steals and he robs from us. Remember when Jesus was born, that was God's greatest gift to us, to bring our Savior into the world. Well, the devil, working through King Herod, had every boy from that time, age 2 and under, murdered to try to steal Jesus away from us. He knew that God had sent a Savior into the world, that the Messiah had come into the world. And so he knew that that was something that was going to be a blessing to all people for all time, everywhere, that we all have that opportunity to have that Savior, God's gift to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's a gift. So the devil says, I don't want them to have that gift. I'm going to steal it by murdering that baby. Well, guess what? It didn't work. We know the story. Joseph and Mary got a vision from an angel came and told them, get out of town. Get out of town. Every time the devil sees Christ alive in you, coming alive in you, when his glory is being reflected in you, he wants to steal that from you, because he can't stand it when we reflect the glory of Christ. He hates it. Jesus wants us to live an abundant, fulfilled, purposeful, blessed life. The devil wants to steal away from you as much of that as he can. That's why we need to be what 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I can almost picture him as a thief prowling around. You know, it's dark out. He works in darkness, the prince of darkness. And he's out there stalking. Imagine him stalking your house at night, looking in the windows, looking to see if your car is open, your garage is open, looking to see if the doors are open, looking to see what time you go to bed, watching every move, watching to see what you do, waiting for the opportune time. What does he want to steal from you? He doesn't want your TV. He doesn't want your collection of this or that or the other thing. He wants every good gift that God has given you. He wants every word that God has planted in your heart. He wants God's love that is inside of you. He wants your peace. He wants the joy of the Lord that is your strength. He wants your salvation. He wants your talents and your gifts and your abilities, your commitments. He wants your relationships, your family, your friends, your church. He wants your life. That's what he wants to steal from you. When he's looking in, he's looking to take your life away. He's a thief and a robber and a murderer. And he wants to steal from you. He wants to steal every good thing in your life until you have nothing left to live for. Many of us have probably had moments in our life where we felt that, where we say, I got nothing left to live for. This happened, that happened. And that's when the devil comes in. He jumps in on those emotions. We know he does. It tells us in the Bible that when we're angry, not to go to bed angry, lest we give the devil a foothold. So that tells us right there that when we have an emotion that overwhelms us, the devil can jump in and get a hold of us. When we get discouraged, when we get beaten down, when we get hurt, when we get abused, when we get somehow, you know, we feel destroyed, that's when the devil can come in and steal away from us our desire to go on. Angel was sharing something here a little while ago about when Stephen, you know, when he didn't get the parole, or he didn't get moved closer, and different things like that. And, you know, those thoughts come in. They come in. What's the sense? What's the use? Why go on? You know, I mean, I'm not saying that Angel had all those thoughts, but you get those kind of feelings, like, you know, like, what's the, you know, there's no sense to go on. And that's what the devil wants to throw in. He tries to throw in those thoughts. We get a little bit discouraged. He tries to turn it into the end of the world. It's the zombie apocalypse. We'll never make it. Everyone is doomed. Sometimes we don't even know we've been robbed. He's like the clever art thief who replaces the painting with a forgery, with a counterfeit. He fakes us out. That's one of the ways he robs us of God's best for our lives. He wants us to fall for the cheap substitutes and abandon the real thing. So how can we tell if we've been robbed? Are we going to see the yellow police tape, flashing lights and sirens? It would be nice if it was that easy. But I don't think that's the way that it works in the spiritual realm. You got to remember, he's a schemer. He doesn't do things like that usually so blatant right in your face so that we would see it and run from it. But we can definitely tell that things are missing after he's been there and after he's been around. We can spot certain signs of thievery. The most important is when we find that our closeness to God is gone. It was there, but now it's gone. What happened? Instead of walking in the Spirit, we find ourselves walking in the flesh. We had this closeness, this Holy Spirit, you know, fulfilled, wonderful, close, dear walk with God. And all of a sudden now we find that our walk is sort of lonely and fleshly. Something was stolen. Our prayer life, maybe it's disappeared. And we find that it's been replaced, substituted with busyness. Our reading time has disappeared because it was just too dry. There was no life there. Our Christian fellowship is just surfacey or non-existent. We don't have any real relationships of any depth because it's just a little bit too up close and personal. The devil stole, he can steal our relationships. He can steal our friendships with other believers. He can do that by putting things between us, by making us jealous or envious or, you know, things like that. Little things that build up and we get mad at somebody or we get hurt and we don't want to see them. Our worship can be gone. Gone. Just what happened to it is gone. Instead of actually, well, we might go through the motions, but instead of really worshiping, all we do is start thinking about problems or analyzing somebody who's up in the stage maybe and saying, you know, their tie is crooked. Or why is he doing that? Or why did that person say that? Sometimes he steals our love and concern for others and he gets us to replace it with cares and concerns about just ourselves. And we don't even think about others. Sometimes it's our peace that's been stolen. And all we have left over in its place is worry and anxiety and anger. Sometimes the joy of our Christian walk has been stolen. If any of those things are happening or have happened to you, that means we've been robbed. That means the enemy's come in and somehow managed through circumstances, through his manifold ways, through his schemes and his plots, to steal, to rob from us. So how in the world does the devil rob God's children? That shouldn't be. Well, it shouldn't be, but it happens all the time. And just like any good thief, he's got plenty of tools at his disposal. You know how you see the guys and they pull out their little kit and they can jump, they can twist open and nudge a lock open and get inside any door, or they start listening to the safe and they got their little stethoscope, or they got the little, now they got all the computer little things that they make and they can put it up against the combination and out comes the number or the credit card number or the passcode to your, you know, to your computer, whatever it is. They can find anything. Anything that can be secured can be broken into. That's the way it is these days. There's probably nothing out there that is foolproof, safe, and secure in natural things. There's always somebody else who knows, who finds a way to break in and steal. And the devil is like that. He finds ways. He's diabolical. He's a genius when it comes to, you know, conniving and stealing and all the other things that he does. Last time we talked, we saw him as the accuser. Today he's the thief. So he uses these different tools. I'm just going to look at a couple of them just so you get an idea what I'm talking about, because I could go on and on and on about how many different ways he can get us. One of the things he uses, one of his favorite tools, is deception. He'll show us the better way, the easier way, the more profitable way, the more glamorous way. And he gets us to think like, I don't need to do what they're saying. I know the better way. I know God's word says this, but I know the better way because for me, this it may not work right now, but I know the better way. It starts out looking great in the beginning, but in the end, we lose. We find out we've just been robbed. Look at how he deceived Adam and Eve. They thought they found the better way. Satan deceived them, and they thought they were going to be like God now. And they were going to have the better way, and they just about lost everything. He'll use guilt or shame to make us run and hide from God, even though the truth is, we've been forgiven. The devil doesn't care if we've been forgiven. The devil doesn't care if Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. He knows that. He knows all about it. But he finds ways to get into our mind to tell us that, well, this sin is different. Or you've gone too far this time. Or God, you know, he can't forgive you again and again. You know, he just keeps on coming up with all these ways where you lost. And so you've been robbed. Another way that, another tool that the devil uses, and he's gotten his little gadget pack of thievery tools, is perversion. Now, perversion doesn't always just mean sexual. That's the first thing everybody thinks of when we say perversion. But what that just means is it means that the devil takes something that was meant for good and turns it into something that is now used for evil. He perverts its purpose. He perverts and turns it into something evil, and once again, we lose. He can twist God's word that is good and make it into something evil in our life if we don't know our word. If we don't get it maybe checked by a couple other people, by some other counselors, instead of just going off on a tangent and doing some weird thing, because that's the way we read it. Of course, he can use things like money or sex or authority or whatever, you name it, whatever, any kind of discipline, any kind of thing, any kind of anything, basically, that God created to be used by us for His purposes, for His glory, for His kingdom, the devil takes it and somehow perverts its use, turns it into something unholy, ungodly, designed purely for our pleasure, but ultimately it leads to our destruction. And once again, we've been robbed. He can use pride or rebellion so that we reject God's way because, once again, we know better. And so that pride gets in there and that rebellion. And what happens when there's pride? It tells us right in the Word what's going to happen. We're going to stumble and fall and we lose out again. We got robbed again. He gets us to disobey God, and that's never good. Deuteronomy really points that out in chapter 28:15. It says, "However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all His commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." I'm not going to read all the curses, but I want to make note of one thing at the end of this section. In 28, 29, and 30, it says, "At midday you will grope like a blind man in the dark." In other words, we won't know what we're doing. "You will be unsuccessful in everything you do, and day after day you will be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you." The Word of God tells us that if you do not obey the Lord your God and follow His commands, we will be oppressed and robbed. And who do you think is going to do that? The devil. The thief. The robber. All of Satan's tools are designed to somehow separate us from God and His blessings. The blessings that God wants to pour out on us. Satan wants to rob us of those blessings. He wants to rob us of our relationship with God. He wants to steal us away from God. I remember when Team Redeem used to come here, and Keith Tusey was always with them. And one of the statements he always made, and I loved it, I still remember it, and I sometimes use it, is the statement he made was to take back what the devil has stolen. That's our job. Because the devil's a thief and he's always trying to take stuff away. But we can only be robbed if we allow him to rob us. Sometimes we make it too easy for him. It's almost like we leave the key in the door and the windows open and we wonder, how did he get in? How did he rob me? How did I lose this? How did it go away? Just because I left my door open and there was a sign on the front that said, "Welcome. All who enter, I'll come in." I know I've had my car broken into a couple times. Busted windows, things stolen out of it. And it really gets you when something like that happens. I know a few people that have had their houses broken into. And that's even worse. My neighbor across the street was robbed last Christmas Day. They were out with their family on the other side of town, and our family was all at our house, and we actually saw some things going on, and this guy goes running through our yard, and then the lady comes home shortly after, and we find out that, lo and behold, this guy that we saw running all around, and we actually saw him trying to break into one of the cars that was one of the people at our house, and we went out there and he ran away. Well, we find out that they had been robbed. And she had lost all her jewelry, lots of jewelry. And she had all her jewelry, she told me, was she had different jewelry from every time they went on a trip or vacation. Her husband bought her a special piece of jewelry to remind her of that trip. And it wasn't cheap jewelry. It was either gold or diamonds. And she was terrified. For the next couple nights, I saw her sitting in her front room. She had moved a chair into the middle of the room and was just staring out the picture window with the porch light on, afraid that this guy was going to come back. A woman in her maybe late 50s, early 60s, something like that, terrified of life because a thief had violated her. He had gone into their bedroom, gone through their personal belongings, stealing things, dumping out dresser drawers all over the place, papers, jewelry, you know, all kinds of stuff just thrown around everywhere, personal belongings torn and ripped up. You could just imagine them in there. Laughing, joking, destroying stuff, thinking it's funny, making a mockery of their home and their peace. That's the devil. That's what the devil does to us. How do you think God feels when he sees the devil breaking into his house, his churches, his family, plundering his children's home, their lives, mocking us, hurting us, wounding us, sometimes destroying or killing us? Imagine how our Father feels after we've been robbed. And the worst part is sometimes we just allow it. Fortunately, what I had said earlier about taking back what the devil had stolen, when this guy had gone through the yard next to ours and jumped the fence, I went back there to look because one of the kids, one of my nieces, had said that they thought they saw him emptying his pockets because he was being chased. I went back there and I found thousands and thousands of dollars worth of jewelry. Tens of thousands. Gold jewelry, thick bracelets. And I returned it to the lady and all she could do was cry and hug me. And ultimately, I think we found just about every piece of jewelry. I was digging in the snow, was buried in the snow. And she told me all her favorite pieces that were missing, and I was looking for those in particular, and we found them all. So we got to take back what the thief had stolen. We could do that too. There's no way these thieves can rob us unless we're unprepared. That's why 1 Peter, as we read earlier, says, be self-controlled and alert. Our enemy, the devil, is out there. He's out there and he's on the prowl. There's no way the devil can get a foothold in our life unless we let him. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. See, a lot of times we get robbed because we're tempted. Because the devil is playing mind games with us. He's pulling us away. He's deceiving us. He's causing us to be filled with pride. All these things I said. And a lot of these are temptations. And God is saying in his word here that he would never allow the devil, the thief, to tempt us in a way that would be more than we could handle. In other words, it was never God's plan, never God's plan, that the devil should be able to steal away what God has given us. If you remember what he said, Jesus said to Peter, he said, I know that the devil is going to be sifting you like wheat, but I pray that after you have come back, that you will be able to strengthen others. You see, all this is for training. It builds us up. It strengthens us when we go through these things. Paul went through all kinds of stuff. He was crushed but not perplexed. He was beaten down and shipwrecked, naked, beaten, compressed, everything that you can imagine. And yet he was one of the strongest evangelists, the strongest witnesses for God that ever walked the face of this planet. You know, we need to get mad at the devil. That's what it comes down to. We need to get mad at the devil. We should be outraged that he has stolen from us. We should be outraged that he has stolen from our friends and our family. We should be outraged and even madder that he has not only stolen from us some things, but he has stolen people from our midst that have left the faith. People that have walked away from God because the enemy has stolen their faith, stolen their relationship for God. And we don't have to settle for this. The infamous words in, remember the movie, was it Network? I'm mad as H-E-L-L-O, except without the O, and I'm not going to take it anymore. That's how we got to get against the devil and his schemes. 1 John 3:8 tells us the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And God is continuing this destructive work of the devil, destroying the devil's works, you know, today. He wants to continue to destroy the work of the devil today through the Holy Spirit in believers like you and me. We have taken on that job. Jesus has given us, he's commissioned us now. James 4:7 tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. God's not going to let us down. God is faithful even when we're not. We need to do our part in protecting our spiritual house against the thief, the devil. We need to take a stand against his schemes and be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We need to lock our doors and our windows and keep all the garbage out of our life. Those things that would corrupt us and take our eyes off of God. It's just the same as locking the doors and the windows in our house. We need to turn on the lights. They always tell you, one of the good things, you know, that you can do to prevent thieves is have lots of lights. The bright light of God's truth, his word, is the bright light that we need in our life to prevent the thief from coming in and to keep that light burning. We need to listen for the alarms that warn us when someone is trying to break in and steal from us. The words of caution that come from the Holy Spirit when he speaks to our minds and our hearts and our conscience. We can't turn off the alarm, because that would be quenching the Holy Spirit. We need to have a security staff that watches over us. That would be like our church, our fellow brothers and sisters, our pastors, our other leaders, and those who God has put in our life to watch over us, to befriend us, to, you know, join arm in arm with us, to stand with us. We need to take up the weapons of spiritual warfare. These are the things that I'm telling you now that we can do to stop the thief. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Prayer, both with our understanding and in the Spirit. Praying at all times, without ceasing, alone and with others. Praise and thanksgiving to God, especially when things are going rough. This drives the devil nuts. It's like one of those little things you put on that's supposed to send out the high-pierced thing to rodents or insects. We start praising God and worshiping him and praying, and the devil's going, he hates that stuff. Always be ready with the sword of the Spirit. It's like, you know, armed and dangerous. I mean, this house is protected by Smith & Wesson. You see some signs like that. Instead, we're protected by the Word of God. The armor of God. Ephesians 6:10-18. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, there's that one, but against all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, when the devil comes around, you will be able to stand your ground. Sounds like a good name for a law, the Stand Your Ground Law, right? And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of the peace, of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with all this in mind, be alert. There it is again. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints, praying for one another, helping one another. It's like neighborhood watch. When you got thieves in town, you start a neighborhood watch. And we also need to be washed in the blood of Jesus and walk in the power and the authority of His name. We need to fight as if our lives depended on it, because they do. Ours and our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we never, ever, ever have to live in fear. We don't have to be afraid of the devil, because victory is ours in Christ Jesus. We never have to be in fear over the devil. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We need to remember what 1 John 4:4 says, that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The devil has nothing on us. Nothing. In fact, when we are walking in the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's the devil who is afraid of you. Believe me, when you are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, the devil has nothing on you. He's afraid of you because, as far as he's concerned, you got the power of God. Romans 8:37 tells us we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Luke 10:19 says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. God's given us the power to overcome the thief, to defeat the thief, to protect ourselves against the thief. Jesus lays out the choice. He makes it very clear. He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And then he says, now I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So what he's saying is, two people, two beings have come now to this earth. Two spiritual beings have come to the earth. One wants to rob and steal and kill and destroy. The other one wants to give us abundant life. Which one do you want? I know what you want. I know what I want. We want Christ in our life. Jesus came to stop the thief dead in his tracks and to give us our destiny in him. To reveal to us our new destiny in Jesus Christ. No longer will death rule over us. No longer will sin rule over us. Now Jesus Christ will rule in our hearts, rule and reign in our hearts. And he wants to give us a life filled with abundance, not one that's been depleted by a thief. Jesus has given us everything we need to stop the thief from stealing from us. Don't get robbed by the devil. Don't be the victim. Choose this day to be the victor, to be victorious in Jesus Christ. The scripture that just comes to my mind now is just to, you know, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither height nor depth, you know. And I mean, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. It's only when we allow it. It's only when we are not self-controlled and alert. It's only when we just let it sort of go. And God's telling us here in this word today that the thief has nothing on us. He's got nothing on us. We've got it all on him. If I could have the prayer team come forward, we're going to pray. So remember, what we're talking about here is understanding our enemy so we can defeat him. This is the third one of this series, and my goal is to help us understand all of his different tactics, the different things that he does, because he has so many different ways. And he comes up with these different things. You know, we've seen him so far last time as first time we looked at just in general, trying to understand the devil, see how much he's an enemy of ours. The last time we saw that he is the accuser, that he's always trying to accuse us. Accuse us to God, accuse us to one another, accuse us to ourself. And this time we see he's a thief. And there are many more ways that Scripture teaches us that he comes after, different ways that he tries to scheme and destroy our lives. But we're going to expose him so that we can be prepared to defeat him on every battlefront. Because he's got nothing on you. He's got nothing on you. Don't ever, ever think that the devil has any hold on you. He doesn't have to have any kind of hold on you unless you willingly give it to him. Because the Spirit, he who is in you is stronger than he who is in the world. All right, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much that you have revealed our enemy to us. That you have shown us his tactics and that you have shown us how we can defeat him. And not only have you shown us, but you've given us every tool that we need. You've given us all the power that we need. And you've given us yourself. We thank you for all that you've given us, Lord God. We thank you that the victory is ours, that we are victorious in Christ Jesus. We thank you that we are more than conquerors. We thank you that you have given us everything we need to overcome all the power of the enemy. We thank you, God, that we do not have to live in fear of what might happen, what could happen, but instead that we can put our trust in you, knowing what will happen in you, and that is that we will have the victory and spend eternity with you. We thank you, we give you all the praise and honor and glory, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, Father.